Well, when you sing a song like that, before I start, I know you're awake when I begin. So if you're sleeping when I finish, I know it's not the song leader's fault. It must be mine. You're welcome again to everyone that's here. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. Especially your desire to be with us, to enjoy not only friendship and fellowship, but to gather as a congregation to give worship to our Heavenly Father together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. The lesson comes partly from the scripture, the text that was read to us this morning. It's going to talk about some things that are more precious than gold. Now certainly, silver and gold are precious. But as the text said, those riches are uncertain. The text mentioned or gives us the warning that it's the love of riches that's the root of all kinds of evil. So there are things that the Bible mentions that are more precious. So I don't really want to diminish the preciousness of silver and gold, except to say that it should not be first place, first choice. When you note the expression, no man is so poor as he who has only money or silver and gold. Someone would probably look at that statement and say, really? Really? But our lesson today answers the question, is anything more precious than gold? Is there anything more precious? The answer is yes. Number one, a little with righteousness than treasure with trouble. I'd rather have a little with righteousness. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Ooh. All right, I got a little. Oh, but the fear of the Lord. Oh, that feels good. Someone else says, I have great treasure. Well, but I'm in so much trouble. In Proverbs 15, verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Oh, just herbs and love versus a stalled ox and hatred. Yeah, I'll take the herbs and love. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little, that little again. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A little, but I'm on the Lord's side. Or a lot, but I'm not on the Lord's side. I'll take the little with God. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel. Oh, it puts it in perspective, doesn't it? A dry morsel with quietness. That peace of mind, that's worth a lot. That contentment. A dry morsel in quietness than a house full of sacrifice, but there's strife. See, the value of the finest steak, or what's the value of the finest steak on your table when you've lost your appetite? Because there's strife or trouble. Heart, yep. When you're angry with your spouse or friend, food's not as appealing, is it? Of what value is a Sealy Posturepedic sleep therapy, temperature-controlled, self-adjusting mattress when you can't sleep because of hatred? I have the finest mattress. The best, but I can't sleep. It's not worth it. Oh, I have treasure, but I have trouble. Not worth it. I have a stake, but I also have hate. I have might, but I'm something's not right. I have a rich life, but I have strife. Oh. You see, treasure with trouble is not precious. So there's something better than treasure with trouble. It's even just a little bit with righteousness. Number two, a life or living is precious. Our life. I should ask Don here, how much would you take for your life? Maybe $20. No. Would you take $1 million for your life? Now, you can't give it away. I'm just giving you $1 million, but you have to die. Would you take that? No, it's not like living. You're not going to take the million, right? All right, I hope I'm answering the right thing for you there. No, because you can't take it with you. Of what value is that treasure without life? In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." So we don't determine our life by, or the value of our life by our possessions, or even the lack of possessions. If my life was valued by my possessions, it wouldn't be worth much. Especially in comparison to a lot of other people in our world. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25, "Is not the life, or your life and my life, more than meat?" Isn't your life more than that? Isn't your body more than raiment? Yeah, sure is. In verse 32 and verse 33 of the same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, He says, "Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things." Food and raiment, yeah. Possessions, yeah. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." First priority. These things will be added unto you. See, life is more precious than our possessions. So you need to make the most of your life before most of your life is gone. You may not be the best, but I want you to be your best. You may not be able to do and accomplish in your life what others can, but you need to do what you can. Your life is precious. Number three is time. It's time. Paul said in Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not foolish, but as wise." And then he gives us the definition. What's a wise walk? It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." He's asking us, and he's meaning, make the most of your time. Make the wisest possible use of your time. If you don't know what the wisest possible use is, you look at these other things that we've listed in our notes, our lesson. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days." Number our days. In other words, focus on what we're doing today. Think about how we're using our time. Number our days, and then he answers, or he puts the application, the finishing of the verse, that we apply our hearts to wisdom. And Paul said in Romans 13, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." All right, we've had our rest, and now here's the day. What are we going to do with it? The day is at hand. He answers that. He says, "Let's therefore cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in riotous or drunkenness or clamoring or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Ah, redeeming the time. It's precious. More precious than silver and gold. In Job 24, verse 22, he says, no man is sure of life. See, in time, you might be able to accumulate and hold on to great sums of money or treasure. But with no amount of money are you able to accumulate and hold on to time. With some people, time runs out before their money does. They die too soon. And of what value is their money when time is gone? Time. So we're admonished to redeem the time, the day that we have. So with the time that you have, prepare for eternity. When time will be no more. But be careful because you have no time to lose in making that decision. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, exhort one another daily, such as I'm doing now at this moment in delivering a lesson in our worship time. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, you might be saying, oh, there goes Brian again. Oh, he's giving us another warning. Yeah. That's what we're all supposed to do with each other. Exhort one another daily. And so much the more as you see the day, the great day, or the judgment day, or the end day coming. Redeem the time. Number four, instruction, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. It's in Proverbs 8, verse 10. Notice the different words that are used. Receive my instruction and not silver. Okay, receive instruction, not silver. And knowledge rather than gold. In verse 11, wisdom is better than rubies. Well, rubies are pretty precious. That's a precious gem. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it, meaning wisdom and instruction and knowledge. Some people say, wait a minute, Brian. That's a pretty good treasure. You know, we're talking silver and gold and rubies. And you're talking instruction and knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Education. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. Someone said, put in your notes, there's no knowledge so valuable as a knowledge of what's valuable. Right? There's no knowledge so valuable as a knowledge of what is valuable. James said in James 3, verses 14, beginning of verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, no, we don't want that. Says that's a wisdom that does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where there's envying and strife, there's confusion, every evil work. The wisdom, and that's what our topic is in this point number four, instruction, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. The wisdom that's from above, James says, is pure, peaceable. Oh, I want that. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. I want mercy. Good work, fruits. It's without partiality. Then Paul made a statement. I want to close this point number four with what Paul said. In Philippians 3, verse 8. It says, yea, doubtless, without a doubt, Paul said, Apostle Paul, without a doubt, I count all things but loss. I'm losing everything. I want to lose all I have for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Said I would trade all that I have, whatever abundance that I've accumulated, I would trade it all for the, he calls it the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Then he says, for whom I did suffer the loss of all things, and I count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ. Oh, knowledge. Wisdom comes from above. Better than the pile of perishable that I have. Yes. Number five is honesty. Proverbs 19, verse 22, a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man. There's quite a, as you know, there's quite a breakdown in our world in the matter of honesty. You know, we see the news, I read it, reports of people who cheat, and swindle, try to get away with robbery, insider trading. They trade all their honesty for silver and gold. So Solomon said, you know, a poor man is better than that. Honesty. Remember the story of the teacher in school. Every time this teacher would give a test to the students, the teacher would say, you're taking two tests today. One is the test itself. The other is the test of honesty. If you can only pass one of those two tests, be sure it's the test of honesty. Teachers, I'd rather have you pass the test of honesty than pass the test that I'm handing out on the paper. That's an important area of life. It's honesty. Number six is character. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, Solomon said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. A good name rather than great riches. Every once in a while when I see youngsters gathered around, if I happen to have a quarter in my pocket, especially if they're really young, I'll hold that quarter out and I'd say, you know, come closer, which would you rather have? This quarter right now or a good name later on in life? They take the quarter every time. I'll take the quarter, Grandpa or whoever it is. I'll take the quarter. Now, if I offered, made that same offer to Don, Don, would you rather have this quarter or a good name? Now, if he takes the quarter, something's wrong. Because he knows the value of a good name. Now, that youngster may not. They haven't gathered that knowledge yet, that information, that wisdom. So they, oh, I'll take the quarter now, Brian. So the lesson for us, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So when we die, it won't matter how much gold we've accumulated. But what will matter is the manner of life in which we live. Our character. It's okay to give up gold to make good character or a good name. But don't give up a good name to gain gold and silver. It's not a good choice. Number seven, salvation. Myself. Don't redeem the time. Number seven, salvation. Jesus asked the question in Mark 8, verse 36. What shall it profit a man? Where's the value of it? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Well, you have it all. You're number one on Forbes' list of wealthy people. Nobody is richer than you are. Wow. What profit? So Jesus would ask that man, what profit is it? You gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, What did he gain? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So you can be the richest person in the world, or you could be that one person in the world who has the most toys. Seen that bumper sticker on the back of a truck? He who has the most toys wins. No. But where's the value of all that you've accumulated if you lose your soul? Where's the value? So our soul, our eternal salvation, is so precious that God gave the best for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I didn't put that one in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Peter says, "For as much as you know," and I mean something we need to know. Know this. "As much as you know," take this in, "that God gave the best," here it is. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Oh, but that's precious. But it's corruptible. You weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The purchase price of our salvation is more precious than perishable silver and gold. The purchase price. If God purchased us with silver and gold, we say, "Oh, I know somebody that has more than what you gave God." No. He gave the best. He gave His Son. So when we think about things, answer our question, what's more precious than gold? You could probably add to the list. I've given you 7 things in our lesson this morning. The last one we mentioned was salvation. It cost God, it cost the Godhead to provide salvation for you and me. And we need to think about the cost that it took, so we can see its real value. So at the close of each lesson, when we assemble together, before we sing a song of invitation, we give an invitation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian, a child of God. There's a simple plan, or a simple, call it a formula, or steps that you need to take to becoming a Christian. Number one, it's on the back of your bulletin too, but number one, you need to hear the gospel message. Jesus said, "Come, learn of me." Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, "How can you believe in someone that you haven't heard?" So you need to hear. Number two, you need to believe the message you've heard. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24. "Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins." So we need to believe. Then number three, you'll want to repent of your sins, because again, Jesus said it. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you'll perish." Well, I don't want to perish. And then number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. He says, "Here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made his confession of faith. Philip said, "Stop the chariot." So number five, then they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water and Philip goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So when those four things are in place, then you can be baptized. Rise to walk in newness of life, as Paul describes it in Romans chapter 6, the opening verses. So that's the invitation we extend when we assemble together for worship. So let's stand together, we'll sing the song that dances along.